is too great, that your love cannot overtake. There is no stronghold too strong, that your love cannot tear it down. There is a hope that's alive, I feel it burning on the inside. There is a blood that's over gold, O King of Kings, let your kingdom grow. Every heart, let every soul praise you, Lord. Let all of the earth, let all of creation praise your name. God who restores, with just one word the world was full. You are the Spirit whose light is breaking forth like the dawn from night. You are the one who holds the keys, and every battle is your victory. Yours is the blood that's over cold. King of Kings, let your kingdom go.
Give me wisdom.
I saw the fear.
of the Lord. Can we give God a praise in the sanctuary today? Can we lift up a praise in the sanctuary? Hallelujah. God, we bless your name today. You're worthy. Glory. Hallelujah. Would someone worship with me? He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, oh God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For all that you've done, God, all that you are, God. We bless your name. Glory to your name. This morning when I woke up, I had a scripture on my heart, so I wanted to share that with you today. And I hope it encourages you as much as it did me. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us. He had designs on us for gracious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free. Hallelujah. Signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. This signet from God is the first installment of what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us. We'll get everything God has planned for us. A praising and glorious life. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you today for your plan, for your promises to us, and we receive those promises today. God, we will honor you with our lives. We will stand upright. We will do all that you've called us to do. God, let your spirit move throughout this place today, God. Setting free, delivering, God. Breaking the bonds of the wicked. God, we thank you today that your spirit is here to do just that. And we honor you, we bless you, and we praise you. Now, Lord God, we ask that you would continue to move through the service. Continue to have your ways. We submit to you, God. We surrender to you today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, I would like to welcome all of our visitors today, if we have any. We're grateful that you decided to worship with us today. We have Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And we are having them in person here. And Sunday morning service at 10. Excuse me. If we do have visitors at the end of the service, if you would meet us in the foyer, we have a small gift for you. Come to shop. Let's welcome our visitors with a hand clap. Praise God. Well, now it's offering time in the sanctuary. It's offering time. And we should get excited about offering. And please worship as you give. God bless you. Thank you.
Just worship the Lord right where you are today. Come on. Just worship Him. Throw your hands up and give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as we come to you today, we come in the mighty name of Jesus, the Savior, the Master, the Messiah, the soon coming King. Lord, we come recognizing that today, God, you have a destiny. We thank you for your word that's already been released, that you have a plan. And Lord, we pray that as we look into your word today, that we would find ourselves positioned in a posture to be one that fulfills that plan. We ask you today to anoint us to preach your word. We thank you, God, for every person here. We thank you for those who are engaged in online worship, joining us from who knows where. But God, we pray that you would just solidify what you want to say today in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. I'd be remiss if I did not welcome my evangelist friend on the front row. Wave at him, Brian. Brian Biss is an evangelist, and he's been saying for some time, man, I'm going to pop in on you one Sunday. And I said, well, when you do, just march right to the front row. Amen. So we appreciate what you do for the kingdom of God, and he is awaiting a special day in his life where his wife, finally, because of complications with papers and government, and everything has been on hold as far as getting across this border. But May the 12th, somebody say May the 12th, there's going to be a revival in the house. Amen? Amen. So give it up for Brian Bissett. Amen? Thank you, sir. Also, Pastor Jerry and Katina, would you stand this morning and wave at the people? They are with us here at Carpenter Shop today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much. And we'll be making a presentation to them in just a short time, not in today's service, but just before us here. And appreciate what he has done in the work of the kingdom the last couple of years. And we appreciate the labors of love and consistency. Praise God. Well, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord today. When I love to do series, and it keeps me focused because I have what a lot of people in America have. I have problems focusing sometimes. Amen. What's wrong? Y'all laughing at me? You're ruining my self-esteem standing right here. So, for real, one day I was reading James Dobson's 17 characteristics of ADHD, and I realized when I got to number 16 it was over with. And I told my wife, you know what, I made a discovery about myself today. She said, what's that? I said, I have a disorder. And she said, I've known that for a long time. Amen. No, but, you know, in all seriousness, how many of y'all have trouble focusing, keeping focus? Come on, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I realize that I have this issue, and so I have to use little mechanisms to help me. Amen. And also, I don't mean anything by it, but sometimes when you're engaging in conversation with me, how many of you, I'm just take a poll here. How many of you have engaged in a conversation with me and it looked like I wasn't listening to you? Come on, just be honest. Come on, I'm sorry, I really am. But that's a part of it. I don't mean anything by it. My wife said to me just a couple of days ago, she said, honey, the whole time they were talking to you, you were eating chips. I said, I was hungry, okay? She said, yeah, but you need to stop eating the chip and listen to them. So how many of you know God gives us helpmates? Come on. I've told you many times before, I've been in meetings, and when I'm overtaking or stepping over the line, I'll feel my wife's hand on my leg. Amen. And I know what that means. Slow down. Okay? So God has sent us those things. Amen? So anyway, for me, I said all that to say this. I love staying on a series because it does help me as a leader to be focused. And can I tell you what I've discovered about people who are called into ministry? All of them have that same disorder. Amen. Every one of them have a problem with, with attention sometimes, attention deficit. Anyway, so if you got that, God might be calling you into the ministry. Amen. Peter's life was messed up. All the other guys, if you study their lives, they all had some dysfunction that they dealt with in their relationships. So anyway, on the series, we've been talking about trusted. Amen. Remember, I don't preach every Sunday, so I have to remind you, last message that I taught, that I preached for you, was a message first in the line of these three messages on this series. And we talked about how God hopefully can trust us with our what? Time. Remember that? God wants to trust you with time. We all get the same 86,400 seconds in every day. Amen. 86,400 seconds. They're just clicking away even now. And God trusts us with the day. And God trusts us with weeks and months and years and decades. And hopefully, maybe he'll trust you with a century. Come on, wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Amen. But he trusts us with time. And we concluded through Ephesians chapter 5 that when we give God our time and allow our time to be influenced by him, we will not be foolish like Paul said. He said, do not be drunk with wine, but rather be what? Filled with the Spirit, but to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And if you are influenced by the Holy Spirit, we noted for you that there would be three things that you could expect to happen if you give God the best of your time. Ephesians 5, 19 to 21. He said, you will speak to yourself and to others with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, if you will give God your time, God will make sure that you are a source of encouragement. You'll be an encourager. You cannot help but be an encourager. And he said, secondly, you'll also be a person who would be noted to be thankful. You will be a thankful person. You'll always give thanks to the Father for everything. I know some circumstances, some issues right now going on in the lives of even some of you that are seated here, and it causes you to be very frustrated. It causes you to be very agitated in your spirit. But can I just tell you, God says, just thank me. Just want to give you thanks, Lord. Because God is always working something better for your good. It may not seem like it, but God is working in your behalf and in my behalf. So we're called to be not only encouraged and an encourager, but we're also called to be people who are thankful. And then finally in that passage, he says that you will find yourself submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. You will have a divine blessing upon your, here we go, relationships. You will bring something positive and powerful into every relationship. And God will place in your path people also who bring something positive and powerful into your relationship within. You'll be relationally blessed, as I like to call it. Bottom line is, things will work better when you can be trusted by God with this valuable asset we call time. Amen? Give him your time. When you give him your time, life will go better. Secondly, today, we want to talk about not time, but we want to talk about the second aspect of stewardship, and that is treasure. Somebody say, cha-ching, come on. Cha-ching, treasure. I hear the money dropping right now. Amen? Cha-ching. Can you be trusted with treasure? Can God trust you with treasure? Man, pastors are so afraid. I deal with pastors all the time, and I'm on a forum online, and some pastors are always putting up there, hey guys, got any tips on how to talk to the people about tithing? Pastors are, by and large, afraid to preach messages on tithing. Come on, that was weak, y'all. Amen. Somebody say amen. Preachers don't like to talk about tithing. And they're afraid to. They're afraid to preach on the tithe, the offering, and everything associated with money because they're afraid that the church is going to say, well, there he goes again. He just wants your money. Can I just relieve you of something? Can I just be honest with you? Let me bring you to a reality this morning. We do want your money. Amen? Come on, I'm just telling you. We do want your money. I'm the pastor of this church, and we want your money. If you're listening online, please be assured, we want your money. You know why? Because God has a destiny. Come on. Minister Susan hit it in the bullseye this morning. God has a destiny assigned to your life. She said she woke up this morning and the Holy Spirit spoke this scripture to her. That's because God has a destiny not only to Minister Susan's life, but into my life, into your life, into every life of every child of God. We want your money. Because you know what happens when we get your money? That means you are not only engaged in spending gracious time with the Lord's people, that you are spending your treasure into God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is doing what? It is advancing because you are willing to pull money out of your pocket. Amen? Don't worry, I'll use this later on. Amen? I'm not going to keep it for myself. It came out of my money. It didn't come out of the church, okay? Some of y'all just like the look of that. That's banded cash right there. But if we get your money, you know what that means? That means that you're engaged in the work of the kingdom, and you've already given your time, and you've allowed God to get in your resource, and you've trusted him with that which is holy, and you've not only advanced his kingdom, but you know what you've done? You've enlarged yours. Amen? Can you be trusted with treasure? Can you be trusted with treasure? Because if you can be, that means ultimately that you're all in. So this is why we want your money, because you bring your treasure, you set yourself up for the blessings of the Father to flow in your life. Amen. The Bible teaches us that we are to give. Proverbs chapter number 3, the Bible says this, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Notice that. In other words, God expects his people to have at least some sort of situation where there's a level of wealth in your life. Amen. You're not to be poor. You're not to be broke. You're not to be busted. God's plan is that you be what? Blessed. Why should you be blessed? So you can be a blessing. Amen. So he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns. You see, this is a conditional promise. If you honor the Lord, verse number 9, with your wealth and the first fruits of your crop, then, somebody say then. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. King James says, honor the Lord with your substance. Notice this is agricultural language. First fruits of all your crops, barns full, overflowing. This was largely an agrarian society, an agricultural society. Today, you may not farm, but guess what? You have a job. Come on. You may not farm, you may not raise the crops, but you have a job. Today you may not raise crops, but you punch a clock. You may not punch a clock, you might own the business, but guess what? You've got provision in your life. We all have income, and we all have income streams, and we understand that when the Bible calls for us to honor the Lord with our substance, the substance is everything about you, who you are, what your purpose is, here on this earth, what you produce, how you survive, how you thrive, how you put food on the table, and how you provide a place, a haven, a house, a cottage, wherever you live, is how you do that. The word we're talking about today is tithe. T-I-T-H-E. Tithe. Not a word that we are accustomed to using, not a word that we are aware of, except in biblical context or church culture. In fact, I have to share with you the reality that even in the church, some people don't get it. Amen? Because over the years, people who have been engaged in the finances of this ministry for years, and some in recent years, in fact, everybody that I've ever had in my 29 years here that has dealt with finance have called these things to my attention. They say, Pastor, I don't cover the name up. They bring me a check. I just want to show you this. It's so cute. And one person writes in the memo of their check, these are my tithes, T-I-D-E-S. T-I-D-E-S. Like God is going to rush in the blessings like a wave. And I said, well, I can buy that, okay? I'll take the blessings of God like waves. Come on, just rush on in. I'm praying for high waves today, amen? They're tides, and I thought, that's so cool. Then another person wrote on their check, ties, T-I-E-S. This is what ties me or connects me to the church. And while I scratch my head and while I smile and I think, you know what, that's so innocent, but yet there's a truth to that. There's a reality to that because you know what? You are tied to the church. You're tied to his kingdom because you're investing resource that God has trusted you with into his kingdom. Like this is the connection that ties you to the church. You've invested your time in it. You've invested your resource in it. So if you want to call it ties, that's okay with me. If you want to call it tides, that's okay with me. Just give it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Just give the money. Come on. So spell it like you want, but tithe, T-I-T-H-E, literally means a tenth part. Genesis 14, verses 19 to 20 records the battle that with Abram and the Amalekites as well as the Amorites. And then Melchizedek, the Bible says, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And verse 19, he says, and he blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Verse 20, and praise be to God Most High, look at this, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram did some sort of response. What did he do? Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Abram understood that it was God who gave him the victory in this and honored God with a tenth portion. He paid tithes to the priest. Genesis 28 shows this also. Jacob, who's the son of Abram, honored God in the same way. And God took care of him, watched over him, looked out for him divinely. And look at what Jacob did. He did like his father had taught him to do. You parents should be teaching your kids, teaching your grandkids to give their tithes unto the Lord. Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. Then Jacob made a vow saying, look at what Jacob says, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And look at the last part. And of all that you give me, Lord, I will give you a tenth. This is holy unto the Lord. How about the story of Cain and Abel? Well, there's no percentages recorded there. It doesn't deal with percentage. It doesn't detail percentage. But we know the Bible says Cain was a what? He was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. Cain gave to the Lord, but how did he give? He gave out of the leftovers. But the Bible says that Abel gave what? The first fruits of his flock. He gave to God before anything else. And God honored Abel, but did not honor Cain in his giving. God blessed Abel because Abel did what honored God. Jealousy rises up. Cain kills his own brother. I remember what the Lord said to Cain. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face so downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Let me just tell you this. I'd rather be blessed by God than cursed by God any day. Amen? Amen? I'd rather be blessed by God than cursed by God. These are examples that were biblical examples even before the law was given to Moses. Then in Leviticus, we have the commands of the Lord given to Moses in Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, remember that, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Nehemiah in the Old Testament had to reinstitute the tithe. After the city of Jerusalem was destroyed and God raised him up to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You remember the story. He understood that the people, listen, had walked away from God, wandered away from God. They had suffered ruin. They had suffered destruction. And so what happens when you do not honor the Lord, when you do not worship the Lord, when you do not give him your time, give him your substance, you walk away from God's plan. You walk away from God's plan. I've noticed this about people over the many years that I've served as a pastor. I've been a pastor for 40 years. When people's hearts wander away from God, you know what they always do? They go missing. They go missing. You don't see them no more. Their hearts wander away from God, and all of a sudden, there's an empty place where they used to sit. They just wander away. And you know what happens when they wander away? What do they take with them? Their pocketbook. They take their pocketbook away. So you lose them, and you lose their money. Amen? Y'all are weak on the amens this morning. Come on. You lose them, and you lose their money. Out of church, out of giving. Out of giving, out of blessing. Amen? Let me say it one more time. Out of the church, out of the giving. Out of the giving, out of the blessing. Jesus said in the New Testament, Matthew 6:21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I used to say, take a look in your checkbook, but pull up your online banking. You know, pull up your app on Southern Bank or PNC or State Employees or wherever you bank. Pull up your app and look at all the details of your bank account. And if you look down that thing, man, it's Bed Bath & Beyond, Sam's Club, Applebee's, you know, steakhouses, all kinds of Busch Gardens. You just roll, scroll. If all you can do is look at all the places you've eaten and all the places that you've shopped and all the places, and you never see anything in there for God. The Bible says where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. So if you scroll down your check ledger and you look down, Carpenter Shop International Church, $500. Carpenter Shop International Church, missions offering. Carpenter Shop International Church, Focus on the Family. Dr. David Jeremiah, Dr. Courtney McBeth. You give a little offering here and there, you know. And you say, wow, you know, I look at my check register and, yeah, I'm going out to eat and I'm paying the house payment and I'm went shopping. But, man, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to do what? Sow into your kingdom. I'm sowing into your kingdom, okay? And so where your treasure is, your money goes where your heart is. So even in the Old Testament, when the people of God wandered from God, they stopped tithing, and Nehemiah reinstituted the tithe and called for the people to be faithful in their giving. So today we see this whole idea predates the law of Moses. It was experienced throughout the whole of the Old Testament. And guess what? It's even in the New Testament. As New Testament believers, we look at the Old Testament as a basis for what we do. That's where the foundation is for our giving. The church today gives and practices the tithe, one-tenth. So I want to illustrate for you this morning. I want to share an illustration that will help you get a picture of what we're talking about. There's an example that I believe will be a good way for you to understand how God works, how he works in his kingdom, okay? And so, listen, I want you to understand that God is in a position where he desires. I love what Minister Susan said this morning. She said that God woke her up with this scripture. And she said, you know, there was emotion wrapped in what she was saying this morning. And the more she read that scripture and she got to the place of seeing destiny fulfilled, the more excited she got. It was a part of what? God's plan for her. It's a part of God's plan for you. Now, my guys here are just rolling in here with the substance that has come from the work of their hands. Come on, look at this. I mean, man, we got watermelons, we got cantaloupes, we got pineapples, we got bananas, we got cabbage, we got potatoes. All we need is a good old hunk of pork. Come on, somebody. We got all kinds of things, amen, that are literally the blessings of God from the work of their hands. Spin that one around for me, okay? Spin that one around. There you go. All the way around. All the way around. You'll see why when it gets there. All the way around. Praise the Lord. Amen. We understand God has a principle, God has a plan. And God says, out of 10, I want to get one, okay? Because it's based on what? A tithe. If you got 10 items, then God gets the first, okay? So if I had a good year with the watermelon crop, you know what happens? I come over here and I say, God, I just want to thank you for your blessings. And I'm just going to give you, Lord, the very first fruits of what I've done. You know, some of you just can't wait to just get into those things. And, oh, man, look at my first tomato. And you slice that thing up. Have you ever thought what it would be like if you watch that tomato, you watch that watermelon, you watch it just grow and grow and grow? Have you ever thought about doing something like this? The very first one that you get, you say, God, I just want to thank you for this. And go down the street and knock on that. Hey, Wallace, how you doing? I'm doing fine, Miss Jones. She said, I've been seeing your garden, man. You've been working so hard, and it looks like you got a beautiful garden. Yeah, I just got my first watermelon. I just want to sow it into your life. Come on, have you ever thought about that, what that would be like? Listen, because if you give God his, guess what you got? Look at her. You got all kinds of blessing. And listen, it's not just true in watermelons. God, what if you raise cabbage? Come on, somebody. You raise cabbage, and that first cabbage comes off. You say, Lord, I'm just here to honor you with the first fruits. Lord, here's my cabbage. Here's my cabbage. And God said, that's not an issue. God said, listen, you got 9 more cabbages. You get you a whole hunk of pork, and you just have a time with your cabbage, okay? Okay. And then, listen, no cabbage meal is complete without some potatoes in the pot. Come on. Y'all love potatoes? I love me some potatoes. I remember Pastor Paul told me one day, we were eating at Parker's Barbecue in Greenville, and Pastor Paul asked for, on his plate, on his sides, he said, yeah, let me have potatoes. And then he just said, he said, I tell you what, how about just let me do double potatoes? I said, okay. I said, Pastor Paul, man, they got Brunswick stew, they got other stuff. He said, man, I just love potatoes. Amen. He said, you know what, Pastor? He said, you may not know this, but there's not a day goes by that I don't have a potato in some kind of short fashion or another. I said, yeah, I see what you mean, okay? Okay. And we sat there and laughed. Potatoes. So you give God, listen, you give God his potatoes, but look at your potatoes. Amen. How about apples? How many of y'all like apples? Man, I love some apples. Zach, my son, man, he is apple. And Dr. Walter Boston, great friend of mine, he has eaten an apple every day of his life for the past 37 years. Amen? He told me one day, he said, I've never missed. He said, every day I have eaten one apple for 37 years. Don't care where I am, what I'm doing, in what country or whatever, I'm going to eat an apple a day. Keeps the doctor away. Amen? And then cantaloupes. Y'all like cantaloupes? I love cantaloupes. I like to take a cantaloupe, slice it in half. This is Joy's recipe now. Pastor Joy's into cantaloupes. But Pastor Joy doesn't take salt and pepper and put it on her cantaloupe. She scoops out the seed and grabs vanilla ice cream and fills that little bowl up with vanilla ice cream. Amen? Cantaloupes. And you know what? You can have cantaloupes. You listen, you raising cantaloupes, you got one to give to God, and God's going to keep your cantaloupes blooming in your garden. Amen? Pineapples. Man, nothing like a fresh pineapple. Amen? You give God his pineapple. You got you a nice old pineapple patch in the backyard, and you're raising pineapples. How many of y'all raise pineapples? Come on, nobody in this house raises pineapples. You get your pineapples from Sam's Club, from Food Lion, from Walmart. And then oranges, man. God is so good. He has given us the beauty of his provision in oranges. Man, these are Florida navels. You know what I like to do at night? I sit down with a paring knife sometime, and I'll get me a couple of oranges and a paper towel, and I just sit there and just love to peel my orange. And it's great. You give God his oranges, and look what God's got for you. Amen? And then bananas. Come on, how many good old monkeys we got in the house? Come on. I love bananas. Amen? Chiquita bananas, Dole bananas. Bananas are good. But look at your table. Amen. Can I just ask you something? Why is it so hard to give up one when God says, this is what I have for you? Amen? I like what Dave Ramsey said. Check this out. It's a quote. I put it in my notes. Dave Ramsey, he's Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey said this. This is very thought-provoking. He said, you don't even need a miracle to live on 90% in America. You don't even need a miracle to live on 90% in America. What you need is to stop coveting, stop buying things that you do not need, and stop living way far beyond your personal means. Come on, check that out. Some of y'all ought to write that down. Some of y'all ought to pull your picture, your camera out right now and take a picture of that. You don't need a miracle. You need the ability to live within the means that God has given you. You have an abundance that God gives you with the 90%. There's another story in Malachi that is so powerful. I want to read that to you this morning. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away. Notice that. You've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Remember, people wander from God, and guess what happens? They wander from the church, they wander from their time with God, and then they also take their pocketbook with them. But he says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Take up, listen, come back to me, take up where you left off, repent of your wrongdoing, and God says, I'm going to bless you. But you, he says, Lord, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal, verse 8, rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And the Lord says, you rob me in tithes and offerings. And because of that, verse number 9, you are under a curse. Your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Amen? That there may be food in my house. He says, test me in this. I want you to notice from Genesis to Revelation, you won't find anywhere else in the Bible where the Lord says, listen, you go ahead and put me to the test. But he says, you test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and you see if I will not throw open. There's an action here taking place. It's not passive at all. It's not just, well, it'll just happen to open. The Lord says, no, I'm going to throw it open. The floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's what God's calling us to. He wants us to put him first and follow his principle. He says, I don't want it all. I want you to be blessed, so you just give me a tenth portion. You give me your tithe, and I will make sure that you have an abundance and that you will be able to do it more than you can imagine with 90%. I remember many, many years ago, I did farm. I graduated from NC State University with a degree in agriculture. I got my inspiration from growing up and working. At 12 years old, I went to work on a farm. And my farming employer reminded me and encouraged me all the time to have a dream. And so one year, I just told him, I said, look, man, I don't have any equipment. I've been working for you since I was 12. I'm going to NC State University to major in agriculture because, see, I had control of my life. I was doing what I wanted to do. And I said, but you know what? I'd really like to have something of my own. You know, I farm all of your stuff and work for you, but I'd like to have a project this year of my own. He said, what are you talking about, Wallace? I said, I'd like to raise something myself. He said, well, find you a piece of land and you can use my equipment and I'll even help you, you know, go through it. We'll work it out. So I went and found a piece of land that was sitting idle. And I began to ask the question, why is that land sitting idle? Nothing's ever raised on it. It's just weeds and everything. Oh, and the guy told me, he said, man, that's sorry land. I said, really? I said, I wonder if anybody's ever tested it or anything. He said, I don't know. He said, they've tried crops on it. It's not worth a whole lot. So I found out who owned it, and it was a dentist from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, owned the property. And I called up the dentist, and I said, hey, I'm from Hertford, North Carolina. My name's Wallace Phillips. I see you got a six-acre tract of land down there in Hertford. I said, I'd like to rent that land. He said, for what? I said, I'd like to raise a crop on it. And he laughed. He said, well, people have tried. But he said, yeah, I'll rent it to you. And we made a deal, signed a contract with him for an annual agreement on the property. And I went down there and I got a soil sample, dug the soil sample up and put it in a little cardboard box that they required in the agricultural office. And I sent it to Raleigh and I got my report back, and there was a tremendous amount of deficit in that soil that when they tested it, it was lacking many things. So they gave me a prescription on what I was supposed to do to bring that land up to the proper level. And we fertilized and we limed and we did everything else. And I planted those watermelons. I asked them, you know, what would be a crop that you would recommend based on this type of soil? And he told me watermelons. I said, okay, I'm going to plant some watermelons. How many of y'all remember what a Charleston Gray is? Come on. Charleston Grays, long watermelons. They don't do them anymore. Everything now is like this. Small, used to call them icebox melons. But these were Charleston Grays, good trucking watermelons. They could take a beating on the highway. And so I raised Charleston Grays, 6 acres. And I never will forget the night that I finished, late in the evening, plowing and, you know, rowing up. And then we'd take two rows and disc them down, and then a row of watermelons. Two rows, disc them down, then a row of watermelons. And I planted those seed, and nobody was out there but me. And I just looked around, you know, like, wow, this is amazing. My own farm. I'm a young man. I got a farm. 6 acres, but I got a farm. And I fell down on my knees. I just got on my knees, and I said, God, these are yours, okay? And I said, I need your blessing. I said, people are looking at me, and people have told me this is sorry land. I said, Lord, I give this to you, and I promise you, if you bless me, I'll do what is right. And I never will forget, those watermelons came up, and man, I took care of them like it was my whole livelihood, and it was only 6 acres. I took care of those watermelons like my life depended on it. And I remember when they got runners on them about this long, and I took a tobacco stick, and I walked those fields, and I turned those runners back so that we could plow those two rows in the middle one more time with a disc and just, you know, get all the weeds out of the way. And then I took that tobacco stick and turned those runners back. And before we did that, though, I side-dressed those watermelons with two items, cotton seed meal and bulldog soda. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. Cotton seed meal and bulldog soda. And I turned those vines back. And the night that I finished, as God is my witness, I got down on my knees again. I said, Lord, this is all I can do now. No more plowing, no more dissing. I've turned these things, and I need your help. And as I stood there, rain began to fall down on my head. And it started raining. Not a heavy rain, just a slow, gentle rain. And all night long, until about noon the next day, a gentle rain hit my bulldog soda and my cottonseed meal. And those things began to jump. And let me just tell you, I paid $150 for a one-pound can of seed. Now, that's a lot of money for seed. I know y'all think I'm crazy. In those days, $150 for a one-pound can of seed. And I watched God take those watermelons and just do a thing on them. And I remember people telling me, you know, man, if you really hit the market right, if you can have watermelons by the 4th of July, that's what you want. Well, it was about the third week in June. And I looked, and those things, man, were just jumping. And I said, man, I'd walk out there and, wow, look at that, look at that. And I called Eddie Bunch at Valhalla Produce in Edenton, North Carolina. Eddie, this is Wallace Phillips over in Hertford. How are you? He said, fine, man, what you got on your mind? I said, I need a tractor trailer out here in my watermelon field. He laughed. He said, man, you lost your mind. I said, why? He said, you don't need a tractor trailer. He said, number one, ain't nobody got any watermelons. This year's going to be about the second week in July or something like that. I said, I got watermelons ready, man. I'm going to be ready in a couple of days, two or three days at the most. And he said, you know what? We've never done business with you. He said, where is your field located? I said, why? He said, because I want to come out there and look for myself. And he drove from Eden to Hertford, and he got out, and he looked. He said, what did you do? I said, man, it's a long story. But I said, I took a less than desirable piece of property, went through all the testing, fertilized. I said, I've been through everything, man, from crop dusting for in the last days of it and everything. I said, I got a lot invested in it. But I said, I'm ready. He said, you know what? You need a tractor trailer. So they brought a tractor trailer up that had 15 guys that I hired to pick that field that day. And they were in a line and chunking watermelons, filled that tractor trailer up. He slipped over to the side and made a telephone call. He said, hey, send us another truck over here. And as God is my witness, I paid every bit of fertilizer, all the crop dusting, all the labor. And when I calculated my earnings on that 6 acres of watermelons, I cleared $1,000 an acre in 6 acres. Over $6,000 of pure profit in one small crop of watermelons. So the next year I planted 14 acres. And listen, guess what happened? I lost my can in watermelon 6 acres the next year. I got greedy. But I can tell you, when my heart was right and I did what I was supposed to do with that 6 acres, I honored God. And I gave him what was his on those watermelons. God blessed me and multiplied my efforts. Let me tell you something. You can't do wrong when you do right with God. Amen? Look what you got on this table. And guess what? When you are not honoring God with your treasure, hear me now. When you are not honoring God with your treasure, some of y'all are sitting here, you got good jobs, you make money, and you look at what you give to Carpenter Shop Church. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. I'm looking at you right in your face, and you look at what you give to Carpenter. Some of y'all go out to eat. Some of y'all don't think nothing about buying you an extra car. What's the payment going to be? And you buy all your stuff, but you look in your checkbook, and you're not blessing God. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. Because average today in the church statistics, 10% of people in the local church carry the whole weight. 10% of the people carry the whole weight. And some of y'all got good jobs. You make $700, $800, $1,000, $1,200 a week, and you come to Carpenter Shop, $20. You're robbing God. You're robbing God. What's the difference in robbing and stealing? Stealing's when you do it secretly. Robbing's when you put the gun right in the face and say, here, give me my money. So here's what you're doing. When you don't tithe and you want something to eat, you're getting it off of God's table. You got all that over there, but if I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat off of God's stuff. Those bananas good. But I'm just going to tell you something. If you're not tithing whenever you eat, you're not eating out of what God's blessed you with. You're eating out of God's stuff. And he says, listen, that's mine. Look at all that you have. And you're going to eat mine? That's mine, the Lord says. You took it from me. This is what he's saying in Malachi. Return to me. Come back to me. He says, walk in covenant with me in your treasure, and I will throw open heaven's windows and pour out so much blessing, you won't even have room enough to contain it. We have to be careful because God wants first fruit kind of faith. That's what he wants. You give it first. You don't pile up your stuff. You say, well, you know, I got my mortgage. I got my car payment. I got this four-wheeler. I got this boat I bought. You don't pay all your stuff, and then if you got anything left over, don't forget, hey, write a check to the church for $20. That's how a lot of Christians live. Take a little something to church with you because it eases your guilty conscience. And you make it hard for people counting money because it's all the $1 bills and the $5 bills that are folded up so tight because you're afraid somebody's going to see you drop your measly money in the plate. Y'all are a quiet bunch of people today. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not afraid to preach on tithing. You know why? Because every time we do, you know what happens? We see an increase. And guess what? Every time we do, you know what else we see? You'll see an increase. Because you're not doing it for me. You give it to the Lord, and I promise you, God will bless. He will bless. He wants your first fruits. He wants the one-tenth. He wants to show you how he can bless you so abundantly when you give it up. When you give it up, not out of obligation, but out of an honor to the Lord. Ask any tithing family how this works, and they'll tell you, man, I don't get it. It don't seem to calculate right on paper. But all I know is there's always enough, and not just enough, there's more than enough. The reason God owns it all and he can open heaven over you and bless you so that you can't even understand or fathom what's going on. Statistics tell us that 10% of people in America tithe. 5% of Christians actually tithe. Do you know that there are people that don't even profess Christianity, but they still believe because grandmama said something about it, or mama said something about it? There are non-believers that give tithe to the Lord. And you know what God does? He honors his promise. He honors his promise always. You let the Holy Spirit do his work. I love this verse as we come to a close. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The verse is number 7. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you. Look at this last part. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. See that you, listen, you excel in everything else. See that you excel in the grace of giving. And you know what? You say, well, you know, you mean I'm supposed to give my first tomato away? Listen, I'm just making a point. All I know is that whenever you do stuff like this, it's never wrong. It's never wrong to give to God. It's never wrong to give out of godly principle. Never. Never. How many college students I got sitting here this morning? Anybody in school? Come on, I got college students sitting here. Help me here. Anybody in college right now? Where are you? Come here, Alyssa. Got another college student? Any college students? Amen? Anybody going to college? Chris, you going to college? You plan on going to school? Come here. Come here. Say, you know what? Chances are you're probably not going to raise watermelons, are you?
No, sir.
No. Bananas either. Okay. I didn't think so. You going to raise any watermelons? Probably not. But you're working, right? You're working a job. So if you learn the principle early in your life, if you get paid, you work at Golden Skillet. Where you were? Across the street? Can you give me a discount on my chicken, man? Come on. Or don't break the rules, but when you see me drive through, throw the bigger pieces in the box, okay? Okay. You know why? Because I want to be blessed, all right? Don't I look like I'm blessed? All right. Well, what happens if somebody just gives you a stack of cash? Doesn't that look good right there? You're not farming, but you can use a stack of cash? Sure, we'll take it. That's a blessing for you, from me. Okay? Now, what's your obligation with that cash? You got to do what? Give 10% of it to the Lord. So if I was you, I'd go back to my seat right now and count them bills off, and I'd be running back up here to hit that bucket just as quick as I could. Alyssa, you're not raising watermelons, but you'll take a stack of cash, won't you? So look at that hand. Would you see that? Woo! I love that kind of faith, man. I felt the Holy Ghost in that. She just stuck her hand right out there just like that. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to give your tithe, and you know what else he wants you to do? Here you go. Lord, my hands are open. Amen? My hands are open. Because God delights in blessing his children. He does. He loves to bless his kids. How many of you like to bless your kids? Come on. You know what? I love to bless my kids. My kids sent pictures last night from the West Coast. We sent off a nice little package just past week. And, you know, we got our little return sticker from the shipper that said, you know, your package will arrive on Monday the 3rd. And last night, our phones start blowing up. Ching, 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 ching. Oh, oh. Pastor Joy's saying, look at this. I said, what are you looking at? She said, they're already wearing the clothes all around the house. Look at them, you know. And everybody's got their clothes on and they're taking pictures. They had gotten it early. And they opened that package up and put their clothes on. And they're sending pictures back because Mimi and Pops wanted to bless them. So we shipped them a box of special things. And it's such a joy for them to be on the receiving end. But guess what? The greater joy was to be able to ship a box to Seattle, Washington, and watch my kids rejoice with their new things. Amen. What was the occasion? Love. That's all. Just love. Can I just tell you that every day of your life, God's occasion for you is love. Okay? He just wants to love you. He wants to love you. And it is a destiny that is assigned to your life. And God delights in that. He delights in blessing his children. Amen. I don't know where you are in that process. That's how quick we ought to do it right there. Amen. You see them? That's how quick we ought to do it. Amen. Boy, yeah, Brian, you just got more money in the bucket there, bro. God just delights in blessing his kids. And I've never understood. I thought, Lord, I operate a 501c3 nonprofit and I get involved in the finances of that because it really affects me more. The church here, I don't have to worry about that. Pastor Anoli carries that responsibility with a team of people that help serve and count and be accountable for all those finances. But in my 501c3, I'm paying close attention to, the in and the out and all that stuff because it just matters. And sometimes I've gone through periods of time and I was like, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do, May or March or April or whatever month it is. I don't know how we're going to do this, God. We stepped out in faith. And then all of a sudden I go to the mailbox. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And I give money from Barnabas Ministry to sow into the lives of other ministers that I know are having a struggling time. And God honors that. God honors that every time. I don't worry. And you shouldn't worry about your finances if, somebody say if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because the Bible says he'll rebuke the devourer for your very sake. Amen. He will rebuke the devourer for your very sake. God is a good God. And he delights in blessing his kids. Come on, give the Lord praise today, would you? Worship team, could you join us back here on the platform for just a moment? Just join us here for a second, and let's just stand together. Could we stand together in God's presence? Praise the Lord. I'm not here to embarrass you this morning. That's not our job. That's not our desire. But I am here to ask you, listen, will you examine your heart? Will you examine where you are right now? And look at the level of what you do. Somebody say, I do. Look at the level of what you do concerning your church. Okay? Look at the level of what you do concerning your church. And ask yourself, is this representative of what God is looking for from my family to my church? From my family to my storehouse? Is this what? Is it lining up with God's expectation? And if it's not, I would just encourage you, start today. Start today. Make it your goal to do everything you can to align yourself with God's plan. The title of this series is what? Trusted. Can God trust you with the time that he gives you? Can he trust you with the treasure that he gives you? Father, in Jesus' name, pray that as we examine our hearts today, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to acknowledge if we've fallen short. Lord, help us to acknowledge that we have fallen short and help us to do the right thing. I pray for those who are listening online today. If you're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, Lord, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that they would honor you with the first fruits of their labors. When the check comes, when it's direct deposited, whatever, God. Father, help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I encourage you, if you're a part of Carpenter Shop Church, I encourage you, if it's a challenge for you, say, man, sometimes I just forget. I can tell you how you cannot forget. You can set up a recurring gift on the app. All you got to do, hey, hit this every month, okay? If you know you're making $6,000, $5,000, whatever you're making a month, then hit a recurring gift and let it come out the first of every month, just like your house payment does. And put God first. And receive the benefits of God's blessing and provision on your life in Jesus' strong name. Come on, sing it. Worship the Lord with us this morning, would you? Just worship Him and thank Him for His provision in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, worship Him. Of God used in an illustration this morning and send it to your house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. Come on down. Come on. Mom, you're taking care of those kids. Come on. Come on. By yourself. Come on. Come on. Bless you. Come on. I need some guys. I need some men folks to help me here this morning. Just line up right here across the front. Praise the Lord. Help them there, Abdul. Bless them. Get an orange bag. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother Ted, if you would. Hallelujah. Come on, Wallace. Help them. Help them. shall be given to you. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Isn't it fun to give? Come on, don't listen. If you're a single parent mom, you lost your husband, you're not married, come on, just come on. Come on down here. There's more left. These watermelons were $8 a piece. Don't tell me you're going to let them sit down on the ground this morning. Amen. Praise God. What you don't eat, the preacher's going to eat. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I sure wish I had watermelons for $8 a piece today. That would be nice. Praise God. This is a local missions offering. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look, I promise you, listen, to make you feel better, God says you've satisfied your debt, okay? So you can get it off of God's table, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How about it, Mother Jenny? You need some blessings? Come on, bless Mother Jenny here. Come on, get you a bag. Help her out. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God is good. There you go. Come on, we got some food left. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sit here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.